If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. We are live on a Tuesday night. It's Game Time Decisions. I am your host, Kevin Walsh. And we got a chance to go through some target player props here for Week 15 in the National Football League. But before we do that, I want to throw it over and help you get set up for more of tonight's action with the Same Game Parlay.
All right, guys, we are back for another Same Game Parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook after the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. We are back to NBA action, and we actually have like a massive game between the Golden State Warriors, who are traveling to play against the Phoenix Suns. Both of these teams are approaching full health. Chris Paul was out with an illness. He's back. We might actually get all three of the big guys for the Phoenix Suns playing in this game: Booker, Beal, and Durant. Durant listed as questionable. I think he'll probably go. Grayson Allen is going to be out for the Suns. We are going to begin our Same Game Parlay by taking the over on 234.5 points. That Beal Booker backcourt, honestly, it's pretty defensively weak, and most of the other rotation players who are in there for the Suns without Grayson Allen are offense-first style players. So we are going to take the over on 234.5. Then we are going to take Stephen Curry to score 30 or more points in this game. He is obviously averaging 29.4. I think he is definitely going to be up to go against his old teammate, and I expect some extra minutes here for Curry and for Klay Thompson. And we're going to take Klay to make four or more made threes in this game. Obviously, that's much more than he's averaging. He's still getting them off, only shooting 35% from three this year. One of the safest bets in the history of sports speculating is betting on Klay Thompson to get back to his shooting form. This three-leg Same Game Parlay is going to give us plus 499 odds. We are going to take the over on 234.5 in Warriors Suns. Steph Curry to score 30 or more points, and Klay Thompson to make four or more three-pointers in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, love the breakdown there from Davis and the Same Game Parlay tonight in Phoenix and Golden State. Let's make sure we bring the radio audience into the fold here, watching and listening all across the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM, Channel 159. It's Game Time Decisions, and I'm Kevin Walsh. Again, he's taking a look there for Suns and Golden State. Keep an eye tonight on how these Bradley Beal props start to materialize. Cautious with a minutes restriction. Phoenix had one on him when he first came back. They didn't really listen to it, and it seems like they're going to be very, very strict on it this go around. I was tempted by some of his numbers, but if that minutes restriction is a hard, let's call it 22, I don't think they're pushing past it. Maybe Beal live props would almost be interesting, just to, get a sense on the rotations. All in all, though, that game will be, again, fun to watch play out. Phoenix is in action again tomorrow. We'll talk more NBA in the show in a moment, but I want to do some target player props while we can here for week 15. And a number that I already know I will be on is going to be Ja'Marr Chase and a long reception prop here for the Cincinnati Bengals heading into week 15. Cincinnati draws the Minnesota Vikings. And again, by the way, we already talked about it. You know, Zach Taylor, coach of the year, the potential is really, really there for this football team. Minnesota, the consistency to which they are giving up the long catch against top wide receivers is massive. I believe it is eight of the last nine games. Davante Adams, I'll tell you, folks, Sunday was not full of good breaks for me. Davante Adams was one of them with a 24-yard catch when that game was basically already over, the final play of the game, which got over the number. But that put another win in the pile. The reason Chase is going to be a target is not just those trends, but he's been a bounce-back guy this year. Look at the game log for Ja'Marr Chase. Over the last seven, if you start this week eight, he had lit up the Niners, right? 10 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Follows it up 4 for 41. Goes wild against Houston. 5, 124, and a score. The Baltimore game, I know that's when Burrow was injured, right? He did still find the end zone, but only 2 catches, 12 yards. Then it's Jake Browning, right? And he has only the 4 catches, 81 yards, but he can't find the end zone there. Huge game against Jacksonville. One of the games of the year at the wide receiver position. 11 catches, 149, and a score. Against the Colts, they didn't need him as much, right? Limited workload there. Just 3 grabs, 29 yards. I hope that takes down some of these Chase numbers. I expect a huge game from Ja'Marr against Minnesota. Got to buy into Browning right now, and he is going to be one of my main targets for week 15 of NFL action. Another wide receiver I want to line up here is going to be DeAndre Hopkins against his former team in the Houston Texans. Revenge spots can be real. And Hopkins, so the issue is Hopkins is coming off of just an outrageous game due to the comeback that this team pulled off here, where he had 7 catches, targeted 12 times. Second straight week, by the way, Hopkins targeted 12 times by Will Levis. Touchdown in each game, 124 yards. For Hopkins, though, the matchup is absolutely perfect, okay? You take a look at the Texans and what they are allowing to wide receivers, especially number one wide receivers. Like, I was on the Garrett Wilson long reception prop. That came in early. And that's Zach Wilson. That's in the rain. And that was no problem. Now you factor in Hopkins, a confident Will Levis, and the revenge spot here. He is going to get the football plenty. For the narrative touchdown bet that many will make, this is the second time Hopkins will have played the Texans since leaving Houston. He scored that first go-around, 7 catches on 9 targets and a touchdown in a 31-5 rout of Houston. That was back when Kyler Murray was going to win a league MVP. Speaking of league MVPs, the top two choices right now, Dak and Brock Purdy. Both of these guys' prompts will be super interesting heading into this week, because now you have the outside influence of the MVP race. These are the per-game averages for these two quarterbacks here. You see Brock throwing a little bit more yards. The touchdowns for Dak, especially over the last 2 months, I mean, it has been consistent here. But the opponents are very different for these teams. You have Brock Purdy drawing the Arizona Cardinals. You have Dak drawing Buffalo. But that also goes one of two ways. You know, the idea is Brock Purdy is going to be in the fourth quarter, probably not having to throw any football. We might have Dak Prescott trailing in the fourth quarter of that game. There could be some weather in Buffalo, so definitely, definitely keep your eyes on the lookout for that. I think the Purdy passing touchdown prop is going to be about minus 180, 185 in terms of the 1.5. You might have to use it as a parlay piece. There will be yardage available.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Against Buffalo, I really want to see what they do with his yards. Dallas throws early and often, and that's when they're winning. If they are trailing, again, a slight dog, but a dog nonetheless against the Bills, Prescott's yardage could be huge. Though, the number was 300, I think 301 and a half at some spots against Philly. How big could it be? We'll talk to Tom Vecchio about tonight's slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions, and we've got Tom Vecchio in the saddle to help us go through some NBA action as well as the NHL slate. Tom, I have a question for you on the hockey. I'm going to go back to the NBA, then we'll do the hockey. But a buddy of mine has me on Mika tonight for the Rangers, over 2.5 shots on goal. The bet's already in, so feel free to be brutally honest. Any thoughts on that wager, the Rangers in their game against Toronto?
Yeah, I think it's certainly fine. His shot volume has certainly been down a little bit this year, along with his goal production, the Leafs, they're on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, they played against the Isles last night, so it's not like a massive travel situation. He's on the first forward line, first power play. The game has a 6 over-under, but that could easily cruise past it given the offensive potential on both sides. So there should be good pace in the game. So it's not like it's some blowout where the Rangers would be up like 5-0 and they don't have to push the pace on offense. This game's probably going to stay within one goal the whole time, so he should be in a spot where he needs to shoot. So it is a good bet.
Okay, that's an approval then. We'll take that. The bet was already in. So there's not much we can do there. Let's talk Mavs Lakers. I'm excited for this. You know, I mean, are the Lakers going to have a hangover from a major accomplishment of winning the in-season tournament final? Don't turn around on me now, Tom, and start hating on the IST just because the Lakers won it here. What are you looking for in this game?
I'm looking for this game to have a lot of points. Both teams are in the top 11 in the league when it comes to offensive pace. The close spread, was it a 3-4-point spread, whatever it's at right now? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a back-and-forth, one-possession game the whole time, bunch of lead changes. So I also like the matchup specifically. So let's turn Anthony Davis over 25.5 points. Derek Lively out there for the Mavs, I don't think poses too much of an issue. Grant Williams is the starting power forward for the Mavericks, and he's 6'6". So simply just from a size advantage, I think the Lakers are going to dominate. Even when the Mavs bring Dwight Powell off the bench, I'm not really worried about this matchup. So from a size advantage, I think Davis is in a spot to absolutely dominate. Dallas, they're on 24.9 points per game to opposing centers. That's the third worst in the league. And kind of other teams are taking notice where they can get down low, they can get the ball to their center, and they can pour in the points. So Davis, over 25.5 points. It's minus 120. I think that's a fine line given the game environment and what I'm expecting overall.
What did you make of the AD performance in the final? Someone texted me that he is now the greatest neutral court player of all time, and I thought it was an outstanding take.
I mean, he obviously had some massive games, and I wish, you know, it really would have pushed him over to the top. As I said last week when we were talking about the MVP, you know, you can just look to take one of those longer players for an MVP. Davis had longer odds for the MVP than LeBron. Obviously, LeBron was going to win it. We all know that. But Davis looked great. The neutral court take, I think, is rather interesting. Does that include his college time?
I think it's mainly just based on him being an incredible mid-range jump shooter in the bubble, which he was.
Right. Okay, I'm fine with that argument.
Like, if it does, actually, to be fair, since the take's not mine, I'll run it past the person who it belongs to. But obviously, he did win a national championship in college, and the Final Four is on a neutral site, so that obviously works in his favor as well.
Yeah, running up through the whole tournament leading up to the Final Four and the championship would be neutral court games in theory, so I don't mind that.
All right, there we go. AD, officially the greatest neutral court player in the history of basketball. Many are saying it. Let's talk here for the Kings late night in their matchup with the LA Clippers. Double back-to-back spot here, Tom, so it could be tricky, or it cancels each other out. It's totally fine. What are you looking for in this game?
So I'm not expecting a ton of points in this game. Although I'm a big fan of the Kings, I like the way they play. I'm actually going to Sabonis under 17.5 points, and he's actually one of my favorite players in the league to go to for a PRA bet when the environment will allow that, and I do not think that is tonight. So he's only averaging 18.6 points per game this season, so it's not like he's cruising past this number at like a super high clip. The Clippers are awesome defensively. They're only allowing 19.6 points per game to opposing centers. That's the third lowest in the league. Also, this is a pace down spot for the Kings. They're ninth in the league when it comes to offensive pace, and the Clippers are sitting at 25th. So a lack of possessions and a very difficult matchup should not make Sabonis the primary shooter for them tonight. I think rebounding the ball, assisting the ball, you know, getting the ball to Monk or Herter or Murray to knock down some shots, I think that will be his normal game tonight, but the points may not be there for him.
What do you make of this Clipper turnaround that we're seeing here? I guess to some degree it was inevitable. What I think's been noteworthy about it is the books, I feel, have respected this Clippers team even when they were down, right? I think a lot of people were fading them, making a ton of money in the beginning run here. But clearly the books believed on a game-to-game basis here, a 3.5-point favorite tonight against what is a solid Sacramento group, just the Clippers turnaround in your eyes.
I think it was expected, like you said. If the trade happened in the preseason or training camp and they started the season slow, I think it may have been slightly different. But the fact that I think it may be blown out of proportions, like, okay, now they're like disrupting the whole thing because the trade happened, whatever, a few games into the season, and now they have to like rework their rotation. Like if it happened in training camp and the trade went down, they're like, okay, it's just growing pains. Now it just seemed like overblown for the fact that they're like, oh, we have to disrupt the whole starting lineup. Westbrook's going to the bench. What are we going to do? And I think that's why people overreacted. But in reality, the talent and the depth is there for them to finally figure it out. It just took a few games.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think what you're now going to get is a team that can perform well in the regular season. But big picture, I'm absolutely not going to get there. The one thing that they have going for them that I thought was important, and we'll see if it continues, is Kawhi getting his offensively. Because yes. Tom, there are times I watched the end of those games, 4 minutes left, and that guy is stood in the corner watching PG or Harden or, heck, sometimes Westbrook figure out how the game is going to end. Let's go over to the ice here tonight. You're on a shots prop. What are you looking for?
That would be with the Winnipeg Jets, one of their now top players, Nikolaj Ehlers, over 3.5 shots on goal going up against the San Jose Sharks. It's plus 116. Kyle Connor for the Jets leads the team with 102 shots. Ehlers is number two on the team with 66 shots. So that gap from one to two is Connor up at 102 and Ehlers with 66 shots. It was announced today that Kyle Connor's out for 68 weeks with a knee injury. So this comes down to opportunity and role. Ehlers was already on the first forward line, should be bumped up to the first power play unit. And basically, there is a massive void when it comes to the Jets' offensive production because Connor is out of the lineup for a month, month and a half. So Ehlers is already a great shooter, but he now should be the primary shooter for them. Going up against the Sharks, they're allowing 70.8 shot attempts per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. So as I said at the beginning of the year, lines change. Roles change in hockey very, very, very rapidly. So Connor got hurt on Sunday. They're playing tonight. Ehlers over 3.5 shots, plus 116.
I've always, in a lot of markets, you take advantage of when those absences come in. Let me ask you this, Tom, before we let you go. Tonight, we have Bedard versus McDavid. Are you looking to bet that game at all? It's got my attention.
Yeah, I did a show for the NHL where we, you know, I throw together a little SGP for them. So I'm actually on the under for the SGP. The Oilers regulation money line, which means they have to win in 60 minutes, the three-way money line, and Zach Hyman to score a goal. Really good production from Zach Hyman. He actually leads the team in shots more than McDavid, more than Draisaitl. He also leads the team with 24 high-danger unblocked shot attempts, which is double than what McDavid and Draisaitl have. And oddly enough, over the past 2 weeks, or 2.5 weeks since the 24th, I should say, of November, Chicago allows the most high-danger scoring chances allowed, and Edmonton generates the most. So Zach Hyman for a goal, along with the under, along with Edmonton in regulation.
You know, Tom, I appreciate that you're a make money guy, but the last thing I needed to hear was you're on the under in that game. That's no fun. Nobody signed up for that. I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to lose money on it. Don't do what I'm going to do. Listen to Tom, but no way McDavid, Bedard, parlays, all the things you're not supposed to.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Stuck in a dinner routine rut? Picking tonight's meal doesn't have to be stressful. Here's an idea. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with premium meals delivered to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Cook Unity offers over 400 meals for every palate. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/rut or enter code RUT before checkout for free premium meals for life.
What's to do? That's what I'm going to do in that game tonight. Tom Vecchio, appreciated as always. BSS live and in person next. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Interesting. We're back in. We're live right here. Something in the background isn't working right, I'll tell you that much. But who cares? Who needs it? Because the maiden voyage is about to begin. Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions, BSS in person. Never before have I sat in this chair while you sat in that chair.
Never.
And we were on air. How do you feel?
Days of yore, though, being back in studio here together to do our thing in Midtown Manhattan. Normally, it's out in your neck of the woods. That's now, right. Out in New Jersey, but you're still a New York City guy. Five boroughs guy through and through. People will never forget that. Isn't it interesting? When we're together on a desk, the mics in the back just all of a sudden stop working. Was there some laughter this time as we were brought back in from break?
No.
I can't hear.
No, no laughter. It's You know what? I don't want to waste time explaining the technical issues in the background. We'll just leave that be. Top-level NBA handicapper Ben Stevens is here.
Yeah.
Your NBA card tonight looks like what?
I've been a big motivation guy in the NBA here as of late. I was spot on with my in-season tournament handicap that it meant more to LeBron James to win an NBA Cup than Michael Jordan could ever know for the GOAT resume debate. And that, of course, played out with the Lakers winning and LeBron winning the first ever NBA in-season tournament MVP. So tonight, we fade that idea. After the highest of highs in winning a championship midway through the season in the IST, first game back after all the fun and festivities on Saturday night, the champagne shower, we're hanging a banner at the Crypto.com arena in Dallas. Mavericks, slight home underdog, line working against them slightly from when we were live right here on the early line on this very desk this morning on a Tuesday, but now back down to three, as you tell me. Mavericks just 1-4 against the number and straight up this year, Kev, as an underdog. They make it 2-4 straight up tonight, pull off the upset slightly at home against LeBron, AD, and the Lakers.
It is an interesting move. First maiden voyage, we go anti-LeBron.
Not anti-LeBron. Pinnacle of the sport, at least to this point of the season, to win a championship in the NBA. Now it's just a small letdown spot. That's all.
I actually think it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know any of your IST takes.
Oh.
I know that you had the Lakers winning, but in terms of the obvious and unquestioned success it was, I'm just curious if you land on the correct side of history with that whole thing.
I actually am like wholeheartedly a fan and proponent of the in-season tournament. Good. Yes, there are some quirks that maybe the public needs to better understand for group play, the tiebreakers, how it all works, the format, but it's the first year of it. It was the maiden voyage of the in-season tournament. So, of course, we're going to learn more and more as this becomes a more established thing around the association. But I don't even think it's a social media interaction, the conversation around it, the TV ratings, the importance of what it was. I think it really comes down to the players being fully bought in. And the superstars in the NBA, LeBron, KD, Damian Lillard, many players speaking about how much they enjoyed the atmospheres of being a part of this thing. It's not quite a playoff atmosphere per se, but everybody felt the environment felt amped up each and every time they played, certainly into the quarterfinal and semifinal round. I don't think you could say that it's not a success. I think it was a swimming success for the NBA in that maiden voyage.
I obviously totally agree. I've always wanted to see LeBron play in a college atmosphere.
Mm.
That's about the closest we'll get. Can we just please somehow find a way to let him play against Duke once? Like, that would be a really, really nice thing.
Yeah.
Listen, the studio audience.
Live studio audience.
You're getting
reckless. It's a big night, right? It's the Sports Grid holiday party. As you can see, I got the VIP bracelet.
Wow.
There's a certain other VIP in studio that, if that person needs to sneeze, please excuse yourself outside.
Yeah, that one. I thought it was laughter. I thought I mispronounced something.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out though. College basketball tonight.
Please.
Duke Hofstra. I can't bet because I'm here.
Yeah.
What a nightmare. I took advantage and played Seton Hall Monmouth. I laid 15 with Seton Hall.
To fade Monmouth?
Yeah.
Any particular reasons?
Honestly, because Seton Hall's actually been, they have a really interesting schedule.
Yeah.
They've either played like very respectable squads.
Yeah.
Xavier, Iowa, I don't know if they played Xavier, but Iowa, USC. And then they played awful teams, and they've covered four out of the five against the bad teams. And Monmouth qualifies outside of the top 200 on KenPom.
I didn't know if there was any personal vendetta against Monmouth or those associated with that athletic department. Anyway, as I continue to go through, no, certainly not. We'll think about it and talk about it another time. Holiday party is going to be a good time. Anyway, as I look at the slate tonight in all-around college basketball, one of the two top 25 teams in action, Duke, Hofstra. Don't love the number, 15.5. Duke, sneakily their best win of the year is against a 4-5 Michigan State team. They're 1-3 against power conference foes. Staying away from this one against the Pride tonight. But I will say, I do like Tennessee laying the number. 33.5, big number for Tennessee against Georgia Southern. But Georgia Southern, the Eagles, Kev, this year, 0-9, both straight up. And against the spread. Tennessee been a double-digit favorite four times this year, 3-1 against the number. I think Tennessee continues the momentum we saw with a big win this weekend over Illinois. The Vols cover even, laying 33.5 at home.
Currently winning 30-8, about halfway through the first half there. Sticking with college news, but we'll go to the football side of it. Big Ten country got some news today. Tyler Van Dimes?
Yeah.
I don't know if... Can they still go with the Van Dimes with how bad it was for Miami this year? But he's now the Wisconsin quarterback.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that move?
A little bit disappointing if I'm a Wisconsin Badgers backer.
Really?
If I'm being honest. Listen, Phil Longo knows way more than me. Phil Longo knows what works in his system. Tyler Van Dyke, his best year, what, 2021 at Miami? A little bit more up-tempo in their offensive scheme under Rhett Lashley, who then became the head coach at Tulsa. I'm forgetting where he went next, but that was kind of the offensive scheme they ran, and it was the best success we have seen for TVD. I really thought, as I looked in my transfer portal crystal ball for all the quarterbacks out there, that Daquan Finn, the quarterback for Toledo, made a ton of sense. That's the style they run with the Rockets, up pace as many plays as they can throughout a football game. Listen, again, Longo, I don't think we saw the full iteration of his offensive system this past year in Madison. I think it's slightly disappointing, but Tyler Van Dyke, of course, does have the experience to have some success in Madison. He wanted to play in a big atmosphere. He'll get that with Wisconsin this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think, look, as someone who obviously watched a lot of Wisconsin futures, you know, go up in flames, and in a way, Iowa finding a way ugly, kind of, because I've just blamed the whole thing on Mordecai getting injured for so long, and then... by the way, sneaky, huge Cooper DeJean guy. Like, should be a first-round talent. I've already where he's being mocked. Super, super in.
We're going to bet the under on his draft prop.
Don't do that. I did that on Tyrese Maxey and lost. And I fully believe I should get my money back, considering how awful of a decision that was by the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, fair.
But let's go to the NFL. I have no idea where you land on. This is the thing. I don't. There's so many things about in terms of your takes that I don't get anymore, which is a real disaster. I'm going to have to text you more often.
Yeah, please.
NFL MVP. I don't care if you think it's currently Dak. Where do you land on the idea of Brock Purdy possibly winning this award?
So we had this conversation today on the early line, and I made the point to Donnie that I believe in. It's not me that built the narrative that Brock Purdy is a system quarterback. And if you look at the numbers, it is frankly outrageous. It's wrong that there is any idea he is just the beneficiary of Kyle Shanahan's system, playing with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. You need good players to have success. That's what the Niners have in spades. And when you look at the numbers for Brock Purdy, leads the NFL in QBR, leads the NFL in passer rating, leads the National Football League in any quarterbacks that have made double-digit starts this year in completion percentage. Now top five in terms of passing yards, near the top in terms of touchdowns, and near the bottom in terms of quarterbacks who have made double-digit starts in terms of INTs. All of the numbers back up Brock Purdy, but I think the narrative is out there for an award that's still voted on by the media that might hinder Brock Purdy. And I think it's unjust, and I think it's unfair for him, and I think it all ties into the idea, frankly, that because he was Mr. Irrelevant, he is not given the idea that if he was a first-round talent in his second year, he was elevating this offense. I think it's ultimately going to hold him back. It makes sense where he is from the odds component, but I think it's a shame. I think he is worthy of it. I'm just not sure he ends up cashing that ticket.
I think what's really interesting, and so I have the 50-to-1 ticket, but my desire to be logical, this is why people don't understand the Jaden Daniels stuff is not because I didn't bet him. I didn't bet him because of how I felt about his candidacy. I bet Brock preseason, the idea was the quarterback on the best team. And that is obviously kind of what is getting him here. What I don't fully understand is the folks who go, oh, come on, look at Jimmy G. I actually think the Jimmy G stuff is in favor of Brock Purdy because Garoppolo never entered the MVP conversation,
never.
Not once.
Yeah.
Nobody ever thought of him of that level. Would Brock Purdy be the same guy if I dropped him in New York and he was the Jets quarterback? No, I don't necessarily believe that to be true, but... also, there's a lot of people that think Trey Lance is atrocious, right?
Yeah.
Now, it was a limited sample size, but he played in Shanahan's system, and that obviously didn't work out the way this did with Brock Purdy there. I don't know if Brock's going to cross the finish line because he's going to need the Cowboys to lose games.
Yeah.
Because Dak has built up enough pedigree in this league, right? Even though Dak didn't go in the first round either. It'll be Dak's if they can... secure the division, but I can't imagine Dak winning this as the fifth seed in the conference.
So that was Donnie's point this morning, and I found it fascinating, right? Because being that five seed, albeit in a wild card position, Dallas is still, you would think, at bare minimum, winning 12 games for a third consecutive NFL regular season, but is being a wild card team and falling short of where Philly is most likely going to be with the easiest schedule remaining in the National Football League, enough to say, hey, it wasn't quite the team success that you would need at this individual position tied to quarterbacks with wins and losses to guarantee the NFL MVP award. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Is 12 wins enough, or is it divisional crown, that being the final benchmark that Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys Cowboys need to get through.
And if it does come down to Dak and Brock, I mean, that I don't know. Like, they did go off. They played one another.
Yeah.
And the Dak was awful. And Brock had one of the best games of his young career. Really, yeah. Really interesting stuff. What a treat.
Yeah.
By the way, Mavs up too early. Nothing. It's early, but 2-0 early.
We're in. So, money line, too.
I mean, some are saying pay the ticket out already.
Listen, I don't really want to toot my own horn, but I feel like I've been reading the NBA board incredibly well.
We gotta hit
props, overs, I'm just making sure. Pacers over last night, handed the Pistons.
This guy's an NBA sharp. Joe Lisi's up next. Denver?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hits keep on coming. Game Time Decisions live in New York. Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi, how about it? A little in person. I thought you already gave me enough on Game Time Decisions Mondays and Thursdays. How'd I pull you in on
Tuesday? I don't know. This is like Radio Row at the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a it's a bonanza right here at Versa. Unbelievable, Kev.
We got a big party tonight to get to. We'll be there. I'll be there in 20 minutes. You'll be there in about 13 or 14.
I can't wait.
A meatball slide. They meatball finally got you spread.
Meatball slide is phenomenal. Off the cuff. Off the hook.
All right.
I'm telling you.
I can't wait. I'm pretty hungry myself. Before I get to all the football stuff I want to get to with you, I hear you're hot on this Bulls team.
Plus 7.5.
No money line?
No, I can't do that. Okay. They burned me way too much in the past. But could this DeRozan get? Could he get to 30 tonight? Now, Carver told me, guess how many times DeRozan has made 30. First time was last night, 41.
First time?
Kid's hot. Well, kid's hot. So could we get a double double? Nuggets.
He had a double double last night.
No, I don't mean double double. I don't mean double double. I mean double double. 41-32 tonight. Could we get that? It's possible.
It's possible.
Here's the thing. We know the Bulls suck, right?
Okay.
But they step up. Maybe I'm thinking against better competition. Bucks and Giannis.
Yeah.
Game time.
Yeah.
They push them to the limit. Now you got Joker. Champs coming on board to Chi-Town.
They're playing with more heart now that they have... basically, their season ended so early. Now they're playing with a little bit
so
more
So there's
heart.
No shot this team can make the playoffs. Absolutely.
All I know
30
is...
30 games in, they're
and
done.
And then I'm going to go to the football cooked. Next. I was downstairs hanging out before we got going. You were doing Coast to Coast with Carver.
Right.
And someone goes, Lisi's on the Bulls tonight. And they go, he's always on the Bulls. I didn't know you were always on the Bulls.
They're the team that I have sort of attached myself
which
to.
Which is crazy.
Which is
it's so on brand.
LaVine, DeRozan. Now, DeRozan's a facilitator, right?
Yes.
You got that Kobe White, three-point specialist.
You like this Vucevic?
Nah, I don't like him. I don't know all the players like I do in, like, football. It's a lot easier in football where you could just, you know, just look down.
Let's do the
positive money.
Let's do the football then. Last night.
Well, I got one more pick. What about as long as Luka plays? And I know this is
playing right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. Is he playing?
Yeah.
Okay, they're live. Plus the 4.5. You know what? And you're going to kill me because you love LeBron. He wins the midseason tournament. This team cares more about the midseason tournament, Kev, than they do the championship. You know that.
Yeah.
Tonight, AD, 6 rebounds, 4 points. Guaranteed.
Letdown spot.
Letdown spot.
All right.
Luka, 46, 12 assists and probably eight threes.
He's hot on the assists right now with three of them. AD with four early points. So,
that's it. He's a first half and then one and done.
All right, we'll keep tabs on it. Can we do the Titans-Dolphins thing quick?
Sure.
I can't get over this game.
We were right.
So
we were right. We took the Titans.
But there was a moment when they're down 14 with 3 minutes left. Like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this team found a way to not cover this game. The comeback win, though, I have no idea what their live money line was after the second Mostert touchdown. I can only imagine 20-1, give or take. I mean, maybe even higher, honestly. But for Tennessee, while that's good, I mean, the Dolphins, that is a season-changing loss. Because now, and I don't know if it's actually going to come in, but there is, and you see it in the market, all of a sudden Buffalo thinks they can win this division all of a sudden here. I mean, the turning point of Miami season very well could have been last night against the Titans.
Absolutely, but think about what happened and transpired. Tyreek Hill goes down. Jalen Waddle had a great first half. He had like 44 yards in the first half. Never went back to him in terms of the second half of that ball game, Kev. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. It was a confidence factor, and they let down against a mediocre quarterback and a mediocre team in terms of Tennessee. Now, people are going to argue Will Levis 327. He stepped up. Look, that interception in the first half was atrocious. I don't think he's a good quarterback. Zach Wilson threw for 300. But the inability to close out that game offensively and defensively is why Miami hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1972.
Right.
Because they do not have the killer instinct in step-up spots. They just don't. They're a finesse type of team that needs the proper matchup to win ball games. And a more physical team can push them around. Now, Tennessee hasn't been that way all season long.
Right.
But last night when Henry's running downhill and that offensive line is working, they got pushed around.
And I thought, though, what was even worse is this team then starts to march out towards midfield. And I think McDaniel all of a sudden was a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 3 at midfield. You're averaging 5 yards a carry. You have to just get the first down and go from there. He goes with a outside pass to A-chain, more that sideline to sideline stuff. I mean, and then you got 2 on a 4th and 2 stepping up in the pocket, which was a total, total mess there. 2 was MVP stuff's done. I think Tyreek could still possibly get it because basically you saw what it looked like without Tyreek there for a little bit. And I did a whole thing on this earlier in the show. I can't believe Zach Taylor didn't drop more in terms of Coach of the Year award. If he gets Cincinnati in, I don't know how he is not the guy to win this award.
Well, I totally agree, and you could equate it to the situation with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota when Josh Dobbs came off the street and won that ball game against Atlanta, right? Yeah. They were the hottest thing in terms of the NFC. If they continued to win and Josh Dobbs continued to produce, O'Connell would have been mentioned for Coach of the Year. Same thing now with Cincinnati. We talked about it on Pro Football Today. I turned to you and I said, is Cincinnati for real if they win this game?
Yeah.
Like, are they for real in the sense of if they sneak into the playoffs, you're not losing anything. You're losing the experience with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But you're not losing the productivity in the sense of as long as he could distribute the football to Higgins and Chase, that offense is cooking. And it's not like he's throwing 200 yards a game. 354, 275, chunk plays each and every game now over the last couple of weeks. If that continues, and they're all of a sudden, they're 7-6 now. If they're 11-6 and they get into, I'm just saying, if they're
10-7 even, right?
Yeah,
as long as that gets them in, that's the one thing that's right now very difficult to figure out, honestly, because there's so many teams in the race. Like, it's like, oh, just what's the tiebreaker between Cincinnati and Buffalo? That might not be the deciding factor, but if they get in, I mean, I don't understand the Dan Campbell thing at all. I don't get it at all.
Well, it's the Hard Knocks thing. You see, it's almost like, you know, it's like they fell in love with him last year.
Right.
They didn't get to the playoffs, but they beat Green Bay. So the love was there at the start of the year. It's every year they find one or two coaches, like Staley was that guy.
Yeah.
Even though he never stepped up.
Well,
gutless.
I know. He's done. We know that, though. Let me ask you this, though, with Cincinnati, because now they're playing Minnesota this weekend, right? So the idea is going to be for everybody, you know, Cincy by a billion, right? Nick Mullins is starting here. I wonder if Minnesota, though, is a cautionary tale of what's coming. Because Josh Dobbs came in, everyone's like, oh my gosh, look at this Dobbs. Well, now the Vikings look completely dead in the water. They might lose out, right? That's the way that the schedule looks for them. you know, if Minnesota goes out here, upset Cincinnati, are we going to be, oh, well, Jake Browning lost the football game. Is it going to be that surprising?
Not really. I mean, anything could happen with a backup quarterback, right? Yeah. It is week to week, but you still have Chase. You still have Higgins in that lineup, right? Here's the problem, though. It's still the defense of Cincinnati shut down Gardner Minshew. They won four straight heading into that ballgame.
Yeah.
Minshew was rolling sevens. He should have went to Vegas or AC in terms of how hot he was heading into that ballgame. And to contain that offense for much of three quarters for the most part, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great defensive effort. So here's the problem with Minnesota. Jefferson's out. He's knocked out. Right, the rushing attack with Ty Chandler and Madison, completely not there week to week.
Yeah.
Right? So I think Cincinnati should win this ballgame. They really should. Yeah. I mean, this is an opportunity to smell blood in the water with Nick Mullins, mm-hmm. a pedestrian quarterback. That defense has to take care of business. But if I'm Zach Taylor, I'm aggressive.
I agree.
I want to jump up early. Maybe the over? Party over? Party over?
The Jamar Chase props are all going to be jumping off the page. Giants-Packers. So this is really interesting because I want to get just like break down like the fact that these – the Packers just blew up these futures. I mean, they can still get in.
Right.
But they're like a lock to be in the playoffs with a win last night.
Bad.
But the Giants thing, look, I wanted, what is your take on DeVito and the Giants now 5-8?
I don't think they make the playoffs.
Okay.
But I think they have a better shot now than they did when they were two-win football team. The team somehow has an identity. Right? Are they limited? Yeah, they're limited. They're not explosive each and every game, but mm-hmm. he's managing the game. He's playing within the scheme, and they're giving him more and more responsibility. I told Carver this, right? And I know how you feel about Daniel Jones. Tommy DeVito understands and embraces New York. He gets it. He's a Jersey guy. But I'm just saying, that's all it takes sometimes.
No, you're right.
I mean, he understands what's expected of him. He gets it more than Zach Wilson and even Daniel Jones. And even though Daniel Jones won a playoff game last year, that doesn't mean you're right to play in New York. You know that for baseball, basketball, sure. Bright Lights, Big City. Embraced it. This team has an identity now with DeVito.
Right. Look, I'll say this. I think DeVito has basically locked himself into at least another half decade of employment in the NFL.
Yep.
He's not the guy, okay? This Giants group cannot be respectfully dumb enough to fall in love with another quarterback that is not a franchise quarterback. Look, it's amazing, right? You can't be from New York or New Jersey and not love this, being the celebration of the New York Giants. It's awesome, okay? Look, everybody outside knows.
That's it!
The Daniel Jones contract is the worst contract I think I will ever see in my life. Because it was an obvious loser the second it happened. And he is undeniably the third quarterback for this team in terms of who's performed well. Tyrod and DeVito have now both outplayed more and given this team better quarterbacking than Daniel Jones. But what that really says, and what's the biggest thing for the Giants, playoffs or not, you have a superstar head coach. Dable's a guy.
Right.
Top 10 minimum, maybe top 5. I don't know how you figure it out. Get him his quarterback. Imagine your boy, Jaden Daniels, gets to play with Brian Daboll. Imagine what they... Because I'll tell you this right now. My Daniels, Heisman, all that.
Right.
He lands with Daboll, I'll put the jersey on. I'll let you know right now. Right. That kid will be a superstar if he gets this head coach.
No, that's all it takes. He is coached up. That did it with Tua. I mean, he did it with Mac Jones.
Yes.
He cultivated that quarterback talent in Alabama, coached him up. Look what he did with Josh Allen. Josh Allen wasn't the same quarterback over the past couple of seasons with Ken Dorsey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the situation. I agree with you. But this team has an identity. You have to go for it. If you're Brian Daboll, you got to throw all your chips in this year and say, you know what? Let's try and make the playoffs, and then let's see what transpires. Now, I don't think they will. They have two games with the Eagles.
No,
do we expect the Eagles to... I mean, if that happens, then I'd be shocked.
Yeah, and that would mean so much more about Philly. Daboll now doesn't have to do anything, the rest of the year. Because now the conversation is, draft positioning. Don't worry about that. They're going to end up picking, I think, still somewhere inside that top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Trade up and get him whoever he thinks the guy is.
within reason.
And there's a lot to choose from.
Doubt.
I mean, if he thinks Drake May is the guy, personally, I don't.
Sure.
I've seen Drake May over the second half of the season. But there's a number of different quarterbacks that have what he had with Josh Allen in terms of Buffalo. The ability to break contain and have live arms.
If Dable thinks J.J. McCarthy's the guy, I'd let Dable. I don't. I'm saying, whatever Dable thinks, that's the guy for me. That's the type of what he's earned.
No, you're right, but the problem is it's New York now.
I know.
Now it's like they're all bought in.
Yeah, I know.
This is it. You can't go back now.
We'll see. We'll close it out after a quick break. Great stuff, Joe Lisi. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out Game Time Decisions right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. Appreciate both Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens stopping by and in person. Appreciate Tom Vecchio and Joe Madden who helped us out along these 2 hours as well. A lot of action currently live. Bryant, Cincinnati over, has the look of a dead loser. We're going to have to hold on here with the Seton Hall and NC State games. So we'll keep eyes on those. Good start for LeBron. 3 first quarter assists as well. Dallas up early 21-15. Cleveland jumped all over the Boston Celtics in that game. A 15-point first quarter lead. What I'll say, you got to look live here, but certainly the notion whenever you have a pregame double-digit spread like Boston did of 11.5, because they're still booked as in-game favorites here, the idea of a blowout worry on overs for either Celtics or Cavs props, right, that gets pushed aside. Now, this should be a great game rest of the way. Let's go best bet here, though. Close it out. Coming up soon, Chicago and Denver. I'm on Nikola Jokic over 21.5 points. Rebounds plus assists. Jokic last night was a loser for me as a best bet, but I'm going to go back to him. Missed out on the triple-double, only 9 assists, but more importantly, only 8 rebounds. Just the third time this season, Nikola Jokic did not record double-digit boards. In the follow-up game so far this year, he's had exactly 13 both of those times, but it's also been paired with big assist nights for Nikola Jokic. He's had 25-plus rebounds plus assists in that follow-up game after missing out on double-digit boards. I'm also going to play his triple-double. Bet it at plus 145. You should still be able to get a nice number on Jokic, a better number certainly than what we had last night. Keep eyes on Kobe White and Nikola Vucevic as well in that game. The other NBA play we're on tonight, Paul George over the 35.5 points, rebounds, plus assists. Top guy PRA has been key against Sacramento. While I understand Kawhi fits that description, I'm trusting PG due to this being the second leg of a back-to-back, and Kawhi coming off of 2 really high-level games could be the PG step-up spot. That's what I'm banking on over the 33.5. I'm Kevin Walsh. Game Time Decisions. Good luck and good night.